finishes with the Ten Commandments, and then he begins to set forth some of these other aspects of the law. But we, again, remember, we're not going to get into all of these various laws. If we went all the way through this, you would see there's laws concerning the altars, laws concerning slaves, laws concerning restitution. He sets forth the laws concerning social justice. In chapter 23, laws about the Sabbath and festivals and all of that. And then he begins even to give instructions about the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the purge of the tabernacle, and all of that. And all of those rules and regulations are what sometimes are referred to as the covenant of the book, and that Moses refers to it like that. But all of those things are says that Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? And verse 30 and 31, he refers to it as a great sin again. Like, we've even talked in this class. I understand, we all know sin is sin, and so far as the consequences of sin and that sort of thing, that all sin is the same. But the truth is, from an outward physical standpoint, some sins are worse than others. They just are. And this, their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool and made a golden calf. By the way, where did all this jewelry come from? The Egyptians. And really, it was a blessing. Remember, God had prophesied. God told them in prophecy, when you leave Egypt, you're going to leave with a lot of riches. And this is a part of that. Isn't it amazing how you can take a blessing from God and use it against him? We ever do that? You ever take things you've been blessed with, material things that God has provided for you, and then you start putting those material things before God himself, the one who blessed you with it in the first place? That's what these people are doing. So they give all this this jewelry to Aaron, and he receives it, and it says at verse it goes on to say verse 4, he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool and made a golden calf, and they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. So, whether he likes it or not, he's becoming complicit in this situation. It sort of sounds to me like, you know, things are kind of getting out of control for him. And he kind of tries to bring them back and says, well, we're going to have a feast to the Lord then. And he's talking there, of course, of God, Yahweh. So he's trying to keep him in the picture. But that won't work, will it? Can't make a golden calf and refer to the golden calf as the God who brought you out of Egypt, and then just say, yeah, we're going to build an altar and have a feast to the Lord, and everything's okay. And things don't mix. And so Aaron is going along and contributing to their sin. He's encouraging them in all of this. But that's what they do. And then watch. And then it says that they rose up early the next day. Isn't that amazing how diligent they are to do this evil? They get up early. And they offer burnt offerings. And they brought the peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They're committing that offering. And most believe they're involved in all the things that usually go along with idolatry, including sensual living. If Paul is referring to this, and he most certainly is, but there's some who it's not 100% certain. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul no doubt does refer to this, but he refers to several things in quick fashion, and sometimes it's hard to divide what you think in the Old Testament he's referring to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and at verse 6, he says, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Verse 7, do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now we know exactly what that's talking about, don't we? He's reminding them of this great sin the Israelites committed. Look at the very next verse, though. He says, we must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 20 accepted themselves. What was the first thing you think of when you hear that read? Right. Your people, Moses. Man, Moses' people, but God's people. But Moses is in charge. He's their leader. And God is kind of testing. You know, how is Moses going to respond to this situation? It's very important. As the leader of Israel, how he does respond. And so everything God does is calculated. And here, he refers to the people as his people, as Moses' people. Like, he led them out of Egypt. He says, they have made for themselves a golden calf, and they have worshipped it and sacrificed it, and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them in order that I might that I may make a great nation of you. Let me tell you, a lesser man and leader than Moses would have said, have at it, God. These people have been nothing but trouble to me. And they have been. They've given Moses all kinds of trouble. But guess what? He loves them. He loves his people. And he doesn't want God to destroy them for their sake and even for the reputation of God's sake. Moses doesn't demonstrate any kind of selfishness on his own part here at all. He's thinking about the people, and he's thinking about God as he begins to try to get God to not destroy his people. They don't realize how close they are to being obliterated, because that's really what God is thinking about doing and starting all over. But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Notice the courage of Moses. He's talking to God. You think he chose his words carefully? You think when Moses came back and said, why are you treating your people? You think that was an accident? God had just said to Moses, look at what your people do. Now Moses said, no, God, this is your people. You brought them out. No, God. This is the people you brought out with a mighty hand. So Moses, you know, he's a strong leader. There's no question about that. He's not buckling in this situation.